you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, the numbers are in, and as predicted, the vast majority of illegal Haitian migrants who are encamped in Del Rio, Texas, were released into the United States, as I told you they would be. At least the crisis is over, right? Think again. According to reports, more are on the way. Friends, it's time for Hold the Line. Welcome to Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. We knew this was going to happen. We told you it was going to happen. And sure enough, we were right. Thousands and thousands of Haitian migrants had massed in the Del Rio sector of the U.S.-Mexico border and in the city of Del Rio. And guess what? They were led into the United States in very large numbers. Here is, over the weekend, DHS Secretary Mayorkas telling the American people after days of delay here on the numbers, how many have been released so far? And oh yeah, by the way, the number could just get even higher.
They're released on conditions, yes. and approximately, I think it's about 10,000 or so, 12,000.
Have been released?
Yes.
And of the 5,000 that are still in process?
We will make determinations whether they will be returned to Haiti based on our public health and public interest authorities.
So are we talking about a total of 12,000, or could it be even higher?
It's going to be higher, by the way. Remember how I told you that it was going to be a majority of Haitian migrants would be led into the U.S.? I could see that one coming. Yeah, there's also, I think, a very clear reason to believe that the number of those who have already showed up at the border is going to, who are led into the United States, that number is going to go up. And the overall number of Haitian migrants led into the United States, remember, not even from Haiti predominantly, but generally from South America, notably countries like Brazil and Chile, where a number of these migrants have been living for years. Well, guess what? Word is getting out. People are finding out about just how many of them are allowed into the United States, and that means more are going to come. New York Post says as many as 4,000 migrants, including Haitians, Cubans, and other nationalities, have passed through stations in western Panama. This is according to a Reuters report as well, citing officials with Panama's security ministry. Another group of about 16,000 migrants are in Necoclí, a beach town in northern Colombia, waiting for boats to take them to the Darien Gap, where smugglers will guide them through the jungle. So there's a whole lot more on the way. The Biden border crisis is going to continue on because, oh yeah, that's right, they don't really want to solve this crisis, as we all know. If they did, they would take very different actions, wouldn't they? Why would they surge resources to the border to essentially increase the number of people, the speed with which people can get into the United States? Here is, for example, Chris Wallace in this interview with Mayorkas over the weekend, asking him, why not take certain actions like, oh, I don't know, building a wall so that we won't have quite the illegal immigrant crisis that we do?
Why didn't you stop them from coming into the country?
We did. We encountered them. They gathered, they assembled in that one location in Del Rio, Texas, and we applied the laws. Applied the public health law under the CDC's authority. And we applied immigration law.
My question is, why did you allow them in the country in the first place? Why didn't you build, forgive me, a wall or a fence to stop them from walking in this flood of people coming across the dam. It looks like a highway that allows them to cross the Rio Grande.
It is this the policy of this administration. We do not agree with the building of the wall.
Right. They don't agree with the building of the wall because they want this to continue. And a wall is a thing that is permanent and that actually adds to border security. It's not perfect. It doesn't solve the problem by any means. You have a lot of people who will cross over illegally and surrender themselves. But it does allow for the more effective deployment of Border Patrol resources. And it also sends a message that we have a secure border. It is a real thing and we will enforce it, right? There's a visual manifestation of our actual border when you have fencing or wall. But if you're not willing to actually do anything about it, I guess it wouldn't make that much difference. And that's what the Biden administration does, very little. Meanwhile, Governor Abbott of Texas is stepping up and saying that he will use his powers as the governor of the Lone Star State to do what the Biden administration won't, and that is step up and try to enforce the law.
Because the Biden administration is refusing to do its duty to enforce the laws of the United States, they have left Texas in no position other than for us to step up and do what we have to do. You know, you mentioned the people in Del Rio and the way that Del Rio was overrun by a population about the same size of Del Rio that had been coming across the border illegally. As governor, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to step up and do whatever I have to do to make sure that I protect the people of Del Rio, as well as all these other communities in the state of Texas that the Biden administration is ignoring. The people in South Texas, they are angry about the Biden administration for ignoring them, for abandoning them. The Biden administration cares far more about people who are not in this country than he does the people, American citizens who live in this country.
Strong words. I certainly hope that the governor of Texas is going to follow up on this and do something about the lawlessness that we are seeing, because we know the Biden administration won't. The Biden administration does not view the crossing of migrants as in and of itself. Illegal crossing of migrants in the United States is a problem. In fact, they view it as future voters. They see political benefit in this mess. There's no question about it if you look at the politics involved here, which is also why the terms being used really matter, because this is about narrative, too. It's about placating the left-wing base, making the open borders zealots of the Democrat Party feel like illegal immigrants aren't just being allowed in the country, but are being elevated. So, for example, the DHS Secretary Mayorkas will avoid saying things like, it's a crisis at the border.
Do you accept the idea that we have a crisis at the border?
I am focused on mission, Chuck, and the challenges that we face and our ability to meet those challenges.
Crisis, you see, has some kind of political implication, right? If you've got a crisis, it's a problem that has to be fixed. If you just have a challenge, well, that can be an ongoing challenge, a thing that you never actually fix and therefore can never really be judged on. A challenge is something that you rise to, not something you are judged for. Meanwhile, the crisis is only happening because of Biden administration policy, as we know. But back to the word games, he won't call it a crisis. Mayorkas won't. The Biden administration also avoids it whenever possible. They also don't like the term illegal immigrant. In fact, the legal term is illegal alien. So now they're switching to non-citizen. Watch.
We don't use the term illegal immigrants. I actually issued a policy in the Department of Homeland Security. We use the term non-citizen to respect the dignity of every individual as a preliminary matter.
As a preliminary matter, huh? So they're changing the way they talk about these things. They're changing the approach in terms of the terminology. And that's not without consequence, because what they really want is to reshape America's thinking on this issue so that the U.S.-Mexico border and the huge numbers of illegal migrants that are coming across it are no longer considered really an issue, a problem. In fact, it's just something to be managed. Illegals who want to come here should be welcomed in with open arms. That's what the Democrats want. The problem with that is that the majority of the American people who still believe in sovereignty and immigration that we control, those people do not support the Democrats in their open borders madness. So what do you get from Biden and the rest? Lies. Lies. Dishonesty. All right, we have more on the border crisis with the Center for Immigration Studies' Art Arthur after the break. Right now, I want to tell you, though, about my friends at My Digital Money. Crypto market's hot right now. People want to get in on the action who've never done it before. Bitcoin, Ethereum, so many digital tokens out there. Not easy to get started, though. That's where My Digital Money comes in. This is an easy-to-use, self-trading crypto IRA platform. They've got incredible customer service. They want to make sure your comfort and security is their absolute top priority. Look, the crypto market's heating up. This could be the best time in a long time to get into this technology-based investment. It's really exciting. When it comes to your money, you deserve a team of dedicated professionals who have your back, speak to you honestly, and treat you like a human, not a number. Check them out at mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. We'll be right back. We now know that more than half of the illegal immigrants camped out in Del Rio, Texas over the past few weeks were released in the United States by DHS, which shouldn't surprise you if you've been paying attention to this show, for example. We told you this is going to happen. Now we have reports thousands more ahead of the U.S.-Mexico border, so can we expect a repeat of the crisis in the immediate future? Joining me now is resident fellow in law and policy at the Center for Immigration Studies, Art Arthur. Art, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Buck.
So, looks like the reports that a lot of these illegal immigrants were released in the United States going to attract more illegal immigrants. We missing anything with that?
No, that's exactly what happens and what has been happening this year. The Biden administration has been engaged in a policy not even of catch and release, but catch, release, and disperse throughout the United States of migrants apprehended at the southwest border. And as you noted, it's just going to continue and get worse.
Now, can you just talk me through how this went? So for the Haitian, they're Haitian origin, but coming from Brazil, Chile, right? So there's some complicating factors there. But for the Haitians who showed up at the U.S.-Mexico border, had they entered into America? And then what were the determining factors about whether when they were processed? You know, why is it that thousands were let in? I mean, Mayorkas is saying the law was applied. Well, how was the law applied? I mean, essentially, Art, how are they gaming the system?
They're gaming the system by coming to the United States the way they have been in the last few years. They're coming with children. And if they come with children or they claim they're pregnant, then they're going to be released from custody. So it appears that the 2,000 or so migrants who are returned back to Haiti, a country they probably haven't been in a while, were returned because they were single adult males. That's been the criteria that they've been using. And it looks like the Biden administration simply released the rest of them into the United States with a notice to report, not even a notice to appear, not even a court date. They simply got their names and told them to show up at the local ICE office in 60 days.
Yeah, so wait, explain that to everybody. Notice to report versus notice to appear. I mean, I saw a stat today that the immigration courts are backlogged by 1.4 million cases, but we're not even talking about a notice to appear, which would be before a judge, a notice to report. Can you just make some sense of that for everybody?
Yes, a notice to appear is an actual legal document, and it has legal effect. If an alien fails to show up at a court hearing and the date is, will show up on the notice to appear, then they're ordered removed, and they're removable from the United States. If they're given a notice to report, I don't even think they're entered into DHS's databases. They're simply given a piece of paper that has their name on them, that has their name on it. And once they show up at an ICE office, only then will they be given an A number, which is a 12-digit, nine-digit number, and be given a court date. But until that happens, DHS probably won't know they're here, and they can just disappear into the system and we'll never know anything else about them.
Would it be, Art, I mean, you know the law aspects of this very well, so I want to sort of run through some scenarios here and really try to get to what's happening. I mean, is it in the Biden administration's power to tell the people that are showing up at the border in this manner, we're just not letting you in? I mean, is there a way they could do that, they could legally justify that, or because of our current asylum system, is there really no legal authority to just say you're not coming into America?
Well, and that really touches on the fundamental point, Buck. All of them are supposed to be detained. Section 235 of the Immigration Nationality Act mandates, doesn't even suggest mandates, the detention of every alien seeking admission to the United States, which means every one of these individuals is supposed to be detained. If the Biden administration actually did detain them, I can guarantee you that illegal immigration would dry up tomorrow. We'd be talking about a handful, a few thousand aliens apprehended entering the United States illegally. But even then, under Title 42 authority, under orders issued by the CDC in response to the pandemic, the Biden administration could simply turn all of them back to Mexico, or alternatively, Border Patrol vessels in the Rio Grande, which we share with Mexico, could deter them from entering the United States. They'd never make it here. Neither one of those things has occurred. So there's no detention. Most of these people were not removed under Title 42, and there were no efforts whatsoever to stop them from reaching the shores of the Rio Grande and Del Rio, Texas.
And when you say detained, does that mean then that there is, by statute, the legal authority to hold any illegal alien who enters in the United States in detention pending the hearing? But then I'm assuming because of the new policy where you can't separate families and they don't have detention facilities for the whole families, if you show up as a family unit, you are de facto released on almost a form of bail, a de facto bail, before the hearing. Is that how the process plays out? Is that where the weak seam is?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not even authorization to detain them. It's a requirement that they be detained. That's really the exceptional thing in all of this. And the Biden administration has proposed regulations, which close on October 19th, that says that they can release any alien that they can't detain. Now, the Biden administration is asking for less money for detention in FY 2022. And I think you're going to see that continue. So it's going to say, oh, we don't have enough money to detain people, and we're asking for less money to detain people. But they're required to detain those people. So, yes. And with respect to the family units, they could still be held for 20 days. And if you were to hold those migrants for 20 days, Buck, again, probably the number of even family units that entered would drop by 90% overnight.
Do we have any sense of how many people who have in the last, let's say, 2 or 3 years tried to claim asylum, you know, defensive asylum after they've already crossed in the U.S. illegally? How many of them actually are getting asylum by a percentage? Do we have any real sense of that?
Yeah, and I could actually tell you based on a 11-year average from the Department of Justice statistics themselves. Of every 100 aliens who claims credible fear, exactly 14% of them will actually be granted asylum. The odds of an alien not showing up to court, 32.5%, are higher than the odds, much higher than the odds, than the alien being granted asylum. So, yeah, we know exactly what that statistic is, which is why the President Trump's migrant protection protocols remain in Mexico was so effective, because it forced people to wait in Mexico to await their court hearings. And keep in mind, that is another option available to the Biden administration. They can send all of those people back to Mexico. That's allowable under U.S. law.
It just feels like this is utter lawlessness at the border, Art. And it looks, I don't know how to say this other than just to come out. I mean, it looks like it's just going to get worse from the perspective of rule of law. I mean, at some point, what's the point of an immigration system if it can be schemed and gamed so openly and so continuously by millions of people?
Well, that's exactly why we should enforce the detention mandate, so that the game is, the game isn't schemed. Let me give you a statistic, Buck. In the last 3 months of Del Rio sector, June, July, and August, for which we have statistics, the Border Patrol there has seized exactly 1 pound of marijuana. No fentanyl, no methamphetamine, no cocaine, and no heroin, at a point that we know is a trafficking site into the United States. Border Patrol agents are so overwhelmed, they can't even enforce the immigration laws, let alone the drug laws or the ones that keep terrorists out of the United States, which I know is a big concern of yours and mine.
Art, thanks so much for the expertise. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me, Buck.
A new report from the New York Times claims a member of the Proud Boys, who was an FBI informant, was among those who marched into the Capitol building on January 6th and was providing the Federal Bureau of Investigation with live updates from the scene. I'll have more on that revelation in the Buck Brief coming up. Let's talk about the most digital, the most important asset you own, your home. How much equity do you have in your home? 50,000, 100,000, more? Cybercrime experts are alerting homeowners the more equity you have, the greater the chance foreign and domestic criminals will come after you. Home title theft is one of the fastest growing crimes. In fact, Home Title Lock, America's leader in home title protection, is alerting homeowners they could already be a victim and not know it. Here's how it goes down. Cyber thieves search hundreds of public databases for high equity homes. Then they pull your home's online title, they forge your signature stating you sold your home, and they take out loans using your equity. You're not covered by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. Protect your most valuable asset. Register your address now to see if you're already a victim, and receive a complete title history of your home, a $100 value free. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com, and we'll be right back with more Hold the Line. As chaos unfolded in the U.S. Capitol on January 6, the FBI received live updates from the ground through a confidential informant who sent updates to his agency handlers. The informant's name was not revealed, though he was a known affiliate to a Midwest chapter of the Proud Boys. According to the New York Times, the informant's account of events before, during, and after the January 6 riot appeared to support claims by defense lawyers that even though several Proud Boy activists broke into the Capitol, the group did not come with a prepared plan to storm the building. At least 19 leaders, members, or associates of the Proud Boys have been charged in federal court with offenses related to the January 6th insurrection. We'll take a closer look at the revelations in tonight's Buck Brief.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So, here's the New York Times reporting on this. In the middle of an unfolding melee that shook a pillar of American democracy, the peaceful transfer of power, the Bureau, the FBI, had an informant in the crowd providing an inside glimpse of the action according to confidential records obtained by the New York Times. The informant's version of events, the Proud Boys, famous for their street fights, were largely following a pro-Trump mob, this is according to the informant's version of events, consumed by a herd mentality rather than carrying out any kind of pre-planned attack. So let's just start with this. How can you have an insurrection when the people who are supposedly at the very tip of the insurrection spear were telling law enforcement the whole time, oh, wow, it looks like this mob is going to move toward the Capitol. We don't know what's going on. Things are just getting crazy. That's not how you overthrow a government. That's not how you would overthrow an election. That's just people who have been a part of a protest that perhaps became unruly, that got out of control, that turned into a riot. But it certainly wasn't the pre-planned overthrow of our democracy that we've been led to believe by so many others. So this creates a problem for that overall narrative. Here's what you're supposed to believe. You were to believe that Trump supporters, whether they were part of the Proud Boys or other groups or entities, really thought that they could stop the transfer of power and effectively seize power through a coup, an unarmed, unplanned coup of a lot of middle-aged people taking selfies on Capitol Hill. But that's the storyline. That's what you were supposed to believe.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Meanwhile, here's the other part of it that should get some attention. How much did the FBI and law enforcement know about this in advance of it actually happening? What was that circumstance like? I mean, did they actually get a sense that there was going to be some kind of a riot before anything even happened? Here is again this New York Times reporting on it. The records and information from two people familiar with the matter suggest that federal law enforcement had a far greater visibility into the assault on the Capitol, even as it was taking place, than was previously known. At the same time, the information is likely to complicate the government's efforts to prove the high-profile conspiracy charges it has brought against several members of the Proud Boys. So let's all understand. It's going to be very tough for them to make a case that there was a conspiracy to overthrow the government when there was, in fact, no conspiring in advance of this that took place. People who get excited as part of a mob and break into a building, whether it's the Capitol or any other building for that matter, aren't in a position to seize that building, even when there are armed law enforcement inside and around the building. We all know this because the Capitol was back in the hands of the government, so to speak. We're back cleared from all these different so-called insurrectionists. In a matter of hours, the transfer of power actually happened. So this isn't a question of what occurred on January 6th wasn't bad. Of course it was. It isn't a question of saying that riots will be justified on the right the way they are on the left, because we actually have standards unlike them, and so we denounce riots, we denounce those who break the law and attack law enforcement. But a plot to overthrow the United States government? No. And how involved were some of these informants and people acting on behalf of the government in pushing all of this, in perhaps instigating or inciting further destruction and essentially getting the mob even more whipped up into a frenzy here? It's a question that people should want answers to, especially considering that the federal government will not release huge amounts of footage that it has in its possession about what occurred on that day. And then there are those for whom this has become a part of their own personal branding. Yes, of course, for Democrats, talking about the insurrection is a fantastic way to distract from the fact that the Biden administration is mired in incompetence, bad results, and a general national despair about what the future looks like. But there are even some Republicans who are making names for themselves on denouncing the so-called insurrection and Trump supporters and all of it. You know who I'm talking about. Liz Cheney. Here she is.
What he's done is embrace Donald Trump. And if I were doing what he's doing, I would be deeply ashamed of myself. I don't know how you explain that to your children. When you are in a situation where you have somebody who did what Donald Trump did, it is absolutely clear he cannot continue to be somebody you embrace.
But are you saying you can't support anybody who supports him?
I'm saying that there are people who supported Donald Trump because of his policies. But there's a difference between somebody who voted for Donald Trump and being the Republican leader after an insurrection and setting all of that aside and going to Mar-a-Lago and rehabilitating him, bringing him back in. That, to me, is unforgivable.
Yes, there's a lot that we think is unforgivable, Ms. Liz Cheney. And turning your back on your own party and doing the bidding of Democrats. Why does she think she's getting this interview? Embracing the special newfound respect that the left has for her, just insofar as she's a useful weapon against conservatives and Trump more broadly. That's what's actually going on here. We can all see it quite clearly. And they're going to make this a big issue in the next year, that's for sure. The Democrats are planning to make the insurrection central to their rationale for why, yeah, sure, Biden has been a bad president. He has not delivered. There are all kinds of problems and issues with it. But you know, he's not an insurrectionist. That's what they're going to say. And they're going after Trump. Here is Glenn Kirshner saying that Trump has zero executive privilege to fight January 6th committee subpoenas from the House.
There's exactly zero executive privilege. That dog won't hunt. First of all, Bannon, let's take him as an example. He wasn't even a government employee, so executive privilege can't even apply to him. Two, the Biden administration is, I think, very unlikely to invoke executive privilege on any of these subpoenas because it would just be potentially covering up crime. And let's realize that executive privilege resides right now in Joe Biden, the current president. Past presidents can't invoke it. And third, the crime fraud exception would negate, would vitiate executive privilege anyway. There are three reasons the executive privilege dog won't hunt.
And they are going to use these committee subpoenas to harass, to malign, to undermine everybody who worked for Trump, everybody who they can pull into this. They will, because that's how the Democrats play the game. Meanwhile, we have Liz Cheney's on our side. President Joe Biden received his booster shot from the Pfizer vaccine earlier today, just days after his CDC chief overruled a panel who'd advised a much more limited deployment of the third jab. So was this about the science or was it about politics? David Dodd, the president and CEO of GeoVax Labs, joins us next to give his perspective. But I want to tell you again about My Digital Money. Crypto is heating up, Bitcoin, Ethereum, so many digital tokens. But how do you get started? How do you start buying these things and getting in on that possibly huge upside? It's not easy unless you know where to go. That's where My Digital Money comes in. They've got a fantastic self-trading crypto IRA platform with top-tier customer service. And they're one of the few U.S.-based cryptocurrency companies that'll answer your phone calls and help you get started. Plus, the crypto market's heating up. This could be a really good time to get in this exciting technology-based investment. When it comes to your money, you deserve a team of dedicated professionals who have your back, speak to you honestly, and treat you like a human, not a number. Check them out at MyDigitalMoney.com. That's MyDigitalMoney.com. And we'll be right back with David Dodd. Stay there. Last month, the Biden administration announced a plan to give additional shots of COVID vaccines to millions of Americans. And last week, after hashing out the pros and cons of these so-called booster shots, a panel of the FDA's top vaccine experts rejected Biden's more shots for everyone plan and voted only that people 65 and older or high-risk individuals be eligible for Pfizer booster doses. Within hours of their decision, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky simply overruled the FDA panel and authorized booster shots for those in high-risk transmission environments, including healthcare workers, teachers, and supermarket employees. Confusion over these third shots has been brewing for months, leading to more vaccine hesitation. Let's bring in somebody who can really explain what is going on here. David Dodd is the president and CEO of GeoVax Labs. He joins me now to discuss. David, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Let's first have you just react to this decision, the change that has occurred here. Here is Rochelle Walensky on Friday saying, oh no, she didn't overrule them. It was just close.
I want to be very clear that I did not overrule an advisory committee. This wasn't, I listened to all of the proceedings of the FDA advisory committee and intently listened to this exceptional group of scientists that publicly and very transparently deliberated for hours over some of these very difficult questions and where the science was. This was a scientific close call. In that situation, it was my call to make.
What do you make of it?
Well, it's very rare that someone overrules the FDA advisory committees. That's why we have them. They're experts in their field. They make a recommendation, and they typically are recommendations that warrant a lot of attention to. You know, the CDC recently admitted that 94% of the deaths that have been attributed to COVID could just as well have been attributed to other conditions, comorbidities. That means instead of 600,000 deaths from COVID-19 in the United States, we've had more like 35,000 if you were to take it from that standpoint. That doesn't mean that there was not some involvement, but it does indicate that we need to be spending a lot more time understanding the pathway of this virus and who really is at such high risk.
But David, can you tell me more about that? I mean, I'm trying to follow this as closely as I can. I've never heard, you said the CDC says that they think that there were that only 5% of COVID deaths were clearly and only COVID? I mean, explain that a little more, because that would be a pretty mind-blowing statistic. I've certainly not heard that anywhere else.
Yeah, there was a publication that just came out in Toxicology Reports, which is a very well-respected journal. It's published by Elsevier, which again is a very respected scientific publisher. It was published online on September the 14th, so just a few weeks ago. And the title of the article is "Why Are We Vaccinating Children Against COVID-19?" And in that article, it's a scientific article, so one has, and I'm not a scientist, so it's hard to follow, but if you find the salient point, you'll see the citation and the reference to when the CDC recently acknowledged that if you were to look at the percentage of the deaths that can be solely attributed to COVID-19 versus those that came that could be involved with influenza, other conditions, comorbidities, there are 6% of them that you could clearly attribute to it, which means there are 94% of the 600,000 or thereabout deaths could just as well have been attributed to some other condition. And I think this is the type of information that we ought to be more broadly discussing. I try to avoid, as a business person, not being on either side politically, but it does appear that politics is increasingly getting into medicine and science, not just with COVID-19, but in many different areas. But this is one that really can be highlighted. And I'm not surprised you hadn't heard of that, because when I mentioned it in a meeting among industry people earlier today, at least half of them had not seen the article to which I just...
I mean, I can tell you, David, if you said that on CNN, I mean, they would probably hit some kind of a buzzer and say it was like a 5-alarm fire or something. And, you know, they'd send the truth police after you right away. So you're saying this article exists. I haven't seen it, but it certainly would be interesting. And I'll have my staff track that one down. In the meantime, the Biden booster happened today. But Joe Biden, here we have him getting his Pfizer booster shot. Now, I have to wonder, I mean, is the expectation, what should our expectation be? I mean, you work in this industry. Okay, now they're saying you should get boosters for a whole lot of different folks, and I'll go through in a moment who qualifies to get the boosters. But if the booster is here because immunity wanes, shouldn't we then assume that we're going to have to, people that are getting the booster are going to have to keep getting boosters? There's no reason to believe that this one would be permanent, right?
That's exactly right, and it won't be permanent. And this is part of the challenge. The technologies that the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna use only focuses on one particular protein, the spike protein, which is the predominant protein related to SARS-CoV-2. But it is waning in efficacy, and it doesn't mean that the third booster is all you're going to need. There'll be additional boosters, and I think what is really needed are technologies that enable people to encode not only antibody immunity, which is what one generates from the spike protein approach, but also cellular immunity. Cellular immunity, or T cells, that's what generates durability and memory. In other words, reducing the likelihood and the necessity of having boosters is generally driven by incorporating both cellular and antibody immunity. And there are other technologies that are in the clinic now that are not as fast and were not part of Operation Warp Speed, but they address both sides of the immune system, and they will probably be able to provide products that don't require as many boosters.
Here we go. The FDA approval for boosters are at least, this is the guidance, 6 months after the first two shots, 65 plus years old. For 18 to 64 years old, you have to be at high risk of severe COVID and frequent institutional occupational exposure to COVID-19. It feels like this is pretty wide open. I mean, I also have to wonder, how long do you think it is before they expand this even beyond what the current guidelines are for people to get boosters?
Well, it's been less than a year, and we're already saying you're having to have boosters, so it's a matter of 6 months or thereabouts, and there's no reason to believe that with these boosters that it won't occur all over again, and it'll just become a continuum of boosters with these same vaccines. I think what'll be necessary is if you incorporate a booster, probably need to do it with a different technology. So again, you're able to encompass more than just simply the antibody immunity. But we need to be addressing cellular immunity to address memory and durability.
David, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate your expertise, sir.
All right, thank you. Be safe.
Coming up, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the $3.5 trillion spending bill will cost $0. We have that and more coming up in Quick Hits. But first, have you ever wanted to invest in real estate, but you didn't have the time to do it on your own, and you didn't want to make rookie mistakes? I felt exactly the same way as you until about a year ago. I've always loved the idea of real estate investment, but I didn't want to get involved in something without a guide through the early stages of the process. That's when I met my friends at Done For You Real Estate. They took all the guesswork out of it for me. They found me an awesome property. They rented it out for me right away. They managed the tenant for me. Now I get a check every month like clockwork. Don't wait. Do this now. All right, trust me. Done For You Real Estate, they can hook you up like they hooked me up. Go to doneforyoubuck.com to see how it works. Every step of the process, picking the city, the house, getting the loan set up, getting a tenant in place. Go to doneforyoubuck.com to see what my friends at Done For You Real Estate can do for you. We'll be back with Quick Hits. A teacher from California showcases the woke gift bag she received from her school district, and Australia's chief health officer say the country is never going back to normal. Control, control, control. It's time for Quick Hits. First, this is a teacher from California who shows the woke gift bag. It's a real thing she received from her school district.
I picked up the gift, and here it is right here. In it was, of course, the Black Educators Matter mask, which I would never wear in front of my students. Imagine if someone wore a White Educators Matter mask. This is also a political statement, by the way. An I Love Being Black pen pin. It had another I Love Being Black sticker in it. A really cheapy loofah. This was also on it, signed by some of the, I think parents put together this and the district handed it to the teacher. So it has the BLM fist and actually I'm Jamaican, but the continent of Africa on it. Honey body wash, right? Because, you know, Black people need honey, have dry skin.
I mean, this is the woke madness on display day in and day out in this country. They just assume that people share their left-wing politics, and if they don't, well, then they're going to call them racist and shout at them and all kinds of things. Australia is a country that we generally think of as the United Kingdom with better weather and friendlier people, but it turns out Australia is actually East Germany with koala bears. Here is the chief health officer saying that in Australia, they're never going back to normal.
We will not be ever having to go back to pre-COVID levels. We're always going to have to be mindful that COVID exists. We're going to have to engage with booster shots. We're going to have to engage with advice from time to time when we see outbreaks. We're going to have to respond. So it's not going to go back to normal. We can't deny that we're going to have to live with COVID. But having those very high vaccination levels will allow us to have more minimal restrictions or more minimal public health measures in place as we navigate the future years with COVID.
What a little moronic tyrant. I mean, it's in Australia, it's in this country too. I mean, at some point we just need to form a country of people who are going to live in the real world and just say, too bad, you know, we've had shots, we've done it, we've had natural immunity, enough. We're just going to live our lives. I don't want to hear about it anymore, we're done. Wherever that country is, I wish it was America, maybe it still can be at some point, that's where I'd want to move, because Australia, it's sad to see what's going on here. Propaganda is always fascinating, right? Because you can see the mentality of the left on display. What are they trying to get? How much are they willing to lie? And how do they frame things, say things? Here is Jen Psaki telling everybody that the $3.5 trillion spending bill is somehow going to cost $0.
There's not disagreement about the fundamentals of what we're trying to achieve. And there is agreement that we need to address the climate crisis, that we need to cut costs for childcare, for college, that we need to make it easier for women to rejoin the workforce. We need to rebuild and modernize our infrastructure. So there's not there's agreement on that. There's a basic discussion that needs to happen or is ongoing. We're right in the weeds of it now on what the size of the package looks like. But I will also note, and we've done this a little bit over the past couple of days, but that this package, the reconciliation package, would cost $0.
Cost $0. If by zero you mean $3.5 trillion, really all in, it's going to be more like $5 trillion that they're spending here. It's going to cost nothing, though. Oh, it's only going to cost people, but people don't really count for some reason. The people that actually pay taxes, madness. And then there's people who are just mad. In France, Emmanuel Macron, who is the president of France, very fancy fellow, he had a protester throw an egg at him. There was a shout there of Vive la Révolution. Whatever. Anyway, throwing an egg at somebody. I don't even know how that made it into Quick Hits, but it did. That's it for tonight's Hold the Line. The No Spin News of Bill O'Reilly's up next. Shields high.